Humans, on average, spend approximately 5 years of their life waiting. Whether that is waiting in lines or queues at the supermarket or traffic lights. I bet Andy Foster waited for a few reports and a few decisions to be made. And another study in 2020 from the UK suggested that the average adult spends 7 months of their lives waiting while their food is cooking, and a further 4 months waiting for the kettle to boil. A big one for me, and I'm not going to ask whether it's relevant to you, is whenever our family goes on a picnic or goes on holiday and I spend an inordinate amount of time waiting for them to get ready. I pace the house. You're nodding your head at the back. Yep. So 6 months of our lives waiting in lines, that's 3 days every year. The average person we hear as well spends 43 days of their life on the phone waiting to be put through to an operator, an automated call. So I was going to say I rang the Wellington City Council the other day, but no, on Friday I rang Air New Zealand and I was told probably 30 times that I was a valued customer, and it took me 43 minutes to get through. And would you believe those of us who catch buses, and I'm sure all of you do here many times, we spend the equivalent of 27 days of our life waiting for a bus to come. That's all going to change, of course, with Let's Get Wellington Moving. We have waiting rooms, we have waiting lines. We wait to be seated, and we wait as our call is put through. There are books, there are podcasts on how to cope with waiting, and like Reverend Ian, I'm a very keen on music, and I always have to include at least one reference in every talk to a musician. And one of the best songs about waiting is, and I was going to have a slide, but the slides are broken down. Anybody got a suggestion? What's a good song on waiting? What's that? Yes, that's good. Anything else? Who's this? Tom Petty, showing his age. Very good song on waiting, which is all about waiting. Well, some things really are worth waiting for. My job at Anglican Missions, to be honest, was absolutely worth waiting for. My wonderful wife, Jane, was definitely worth waiting for. And another thing that was worth waiting for is the subject of today's reading, which is about Simeon. And we read that he waited his whole life to see the Lord. And I guess if you were told that you'd see the Lord by the end of your life, you would probably want to wait as well. If good things come to those who wait, is there something that you would wait for? What if I offered you $10 million if you waited your entire life to spend it? Would you accept that? How many would take that, $10 million? Hey, brother here, I would. You wouldn't have much time to spend it, though. That's your trouble. I'm waiting on a whole bunch of things right now. I'm waiting, and I really want them to happen. And I'm not alone. I'm in this big waiting line. I'm waiting for an end to poverty. I'm waiting for an end to injustice and war and conflict. I'm waiting for a time when everybody will have free access to education and to health. I'm waiting for a time when there's no more preventable diseases. I'm waiting for a time when people will have enough to eat at last. I wait for that. And with your support, Anglican Missions is doing all it can to try and speed up that process. But maybe you're at a time right now where you are waiting for something. Maybe you know what it is. It could be exams. It could be a new job. Perhaps you're waiting to get married. Perhaps you're waiting for sufficient economic security to be able to buy your first home. Perhaps you're waiting for peace of mind or a feeling of contentment. Maybe you're not sure what you're waiting for. A fabulous story that came to us 2 weeks ago, which I'll just introduce now, demonstrates that good things can come to those who wait. It's a simple example of how funds that this church has raised are being used right now. There's a little village called Nadaba. Did you know that in Fiji there are 230 informal settlements? Informal settlements are basically squatter settlements. They're places where there is no security of tenure. They're often built on the sides of riverbanks, so get regularly washed out. There is very little education. Power can be intermittent. There is very little access to schools or education. And a number of them are Anglican in basis. And my colleague, Mark Mitchell, was there 2 weeks ago. And you'll see the woman in the green dress, that's Karen. She works full-time for Anglican Missions in Fiji. And we went to this informal settlement where at any time anybody there could be kicked out of their homes. And we asked the village elder, what is the one thing that you really, really want? And he said, we've been waiting. But what he was waiting for was a little bit surprising. He said, we have been waiting for a shower. Because the only shower that serves our village has very little privacy and really, really erratic water. And he said, the big thing is, especially bad on Sundays, because women especially want to come and have a shower and then get dressed up to go to church. And so he said, we have been waiting for a shower so that our wives can have dignity. And so Mark, while he was there, purchased a 20,000 litre water tank and put it in, and they built a very simple corrugated iron shower around it. They'd been waiting for years to get this simple structure, and that's been done because of the likes of this church who would give to us so generously. Something worth waiting for. Back to Simeon. He waited his entire life for something. And he thought that it was worth waiting for, and it absolutely was. I mean, who wouldn't want to wait for Jesus Christ to come? We're introduced to Simeon in verse 25, and it's a short verse. Behold, there was a man in Jerusalem named Simeon. And that's it. Nothing more. So what do we learn from that? One, there was a man in Jerusalem. And two, that his name was Simeon. Now, Jerusalem was the center of political, economic, social, spiritual life in Israel, and it still is. So we know that he was there in this important place. The second thing we learn is that his name was Simeon, and Simeon literally means God has heard. So that's all we know about Simeon, less than you learnt about me from my bio. And yet he's gone down in history based on those two facts. Nothing more is said about him. And up until the next couple of verses. So we know that his name foretold that God did hear and was about to answer it in a most astonishing way. So there's not much to go on how he looked or what he did or who his friends were, what his career was, just that he was waiting. The next few verses, though, give us a little bit more of an idea as to his special characteristics. And we see that he was a good man, a man who lived in prayerful expectancy of help for Israel, and that the Holy Spirit was upon him. So three more things. A good man literally meant he was just, he was devout, and in those days they used this word sort of righteous. It's not something we use today so much, but he was a righteous man. And it's often, a righteous person is often used to describe someone who's obedient to the Bible. Simeon knew the Bible and what it said. And then he did what it said. And I think that's a prerequisite to being used by God. At the time, the hope and prayer of every Israeli, that's from here, was that they were expecting the Messiah to come back. So Simeon was no different to all the other Jews at that time. He was waiting in prayerful expectancy for Israel, which is a reference to Jesus, which was lifted directly from a number of chapters in Isaiah. Chapters 40 to 66, where it talks about where Isaiah foretells the coming of Christ and that Christ would come to liberate and to console Israel. So Simeon was waiting for that. And that's sometimes what God expects us to do, to wait. It's not always glamorous, waiting. It's not something that anyone gets a lot of attention often, but sometimes God is expecting us to just wait. I've been waiting a long time at St Hilda's in Island Bay for revival, and I absolutely believe passionately that it's going to happen. But whatever it is waiting for, Simeon reminds us to stay strong and to stay patient. And I think that's part of every Christian's maturing process, is to have a period of waiting. Waiting for that blessing. Waiting on that gift to become really strong. We know that God has given all of us gifts, which he wants to use. We know that we all have something really unique to offer, which only we can do. And while he has called all of us to do something great, sometimes it just doesn't seem to happen right now. And that might be because God is asking you to wait. Maybe God's teaching you patience. I waited a long time from when I was working in the humanitarian sector to where I am now, where I can do that plus share my faith. It's been worth waiting. A friend of ours had a baby last week, a little girl. They waited 20 years for that. It's well worth waiting. Andrew and Viv got married a few weeks ago. It's worth waiting. So maybe the timing is not quite right yet. And sometimes if you're anything like me, you can get a bit too impatient and try and get off and do your own thing. But in my experience, that often leads to falling flat on your face. Instead, take that period of waiting and rely as much on Jesus Christ as you can. Read the Bible, get to know the Bible better, and then suddenly, bam, it's going to happen, and you'll know it. A mushroom matures in a few days, but an oak tree can take hundreds and hundreds of years. What would you rather be? Ooh, a few chuckles here. Maybe. I won't ask to see who'd like to be a mushroom. But if you choose to wait for God's timing, you'll become like a tree planted by streams of living water that brings forth its fruit in season. That's Psalm 1, verse 3. And as you wait, remember that God hasn't forgotten you. God never forgot about Simeon. He knew he was down there praying day by day by day. He didn't forget about him. And likewise with us, he never forgets. And we read in Isaiah chapter 40, as you wait on the Lord, he will renew your strength. You will mount up with wings like eagles. You will run and not grow weary. You will walk and not faint. Simeon would have known that scripture really well. And that's exactly what Simeon did. God wanted and asked him to wait for Jesus, and he did. So we read that Simeon was good. He was a good man, devout, righteous. We see that he was patient, good at waiting. And the third characteristic was we see that he was filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was upon him. Now that's pretty unusual, because usually the Holy Spirit came on believers after Pentecost, yeah? But earlier in the Bible, and even back in the Old Testament, there are times when the Holy Spirit rested upon a person for a while, and then maybe might have then left. And you can remember in Psalm 51 where David prays so fervently, Lord, take not your Holy Spirit from me. But before Pentecost and Acts, the Holy Spirit only came upon certain people at certain times and for a very specific reason. After Pentecost, all the followers, all the believers, all those who were with Christ, the Holy Spirit came upon them and stayed. So Simeon was one of a very few privileged people prior to Pentecost who had the Holy Spirit. And that means that he was especially chosen for a task. And we see what that is in verse 26. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord Jesus Christ. Simeon was told by God that he would not die until he saw Christ. That's quite a promise. We don't know exactly how old Simeon was. I don't know, you know, we know that he was old. There's some tradition that said that he was 113. I don't know where that came from. That seems pretty ancient. Andrew's getting up there, but not quite. So while Simeon had been waiting for God for much of his life, he was utterly convinced that he would see the Christ before he died. The question, though, is, and this is what I thought, why would Christ tell Simeon this? What's the point of keeping him going all this time just to show him Jesus? What's the point? Why did God think it was so important that there was needed to be somebody to see Jesus? Well, it's a great story and it's kind of amazing. What's the point? Anybody? The point is found in Deuteronomy chapter 19, where it's said that the evidence of two or three witnesses is needed for a matter to be confirmed. If it's just one person, it might be just their story against somebody else's. If it's two people, maybe it's a coincidence or an accident. But if it's three people that have seen something, now you're talking. You think in the Gospels, the feeding of the 5,000, it didn't just appear in the Gospel of Luke. If it did, you could say, oh, it's a nice story. But it appeared in all four Gospels, so therefore it is irrefutably true. How could four random people all come up with exactly the same story and include it in their book? And that's the significance of Simeon. In Deuteronomy, it said that there needed to be three witnesses to an event, to the event of Jesus' birth. Just like in a court case, we need to have witnesses. So Simeon was one of those witnesses. The other were the shepherds, remember? They were witnesses and they came down and bowed down. And Anna, which is the subject of the next chapter, is the third witness. Those three were expected to witness and to testify that they had seen Jesus. So, once Simeon saw and he held the baby Christ, he then needed to do something about it. It wasn't just a nice little cuddle and he could die. He then had to witness. And witnesses speak out about what they hear, eh? What they've seen. That's why witnesses are so important in securing, for example, a court conviction. If you see something, then you need to speak about it. And Simeon needs to speak. And this is what he does in verse 27. The wait is over, and God has called out Simeon to speak. And it's like he's been in the shadows and on the sidelines for so long, and he steps forward as a witness. And he says, led by the Spirit, he entered into the temple as the parents of Jesus, Mary and Joseph, brought him in to carry out the rituals of the law which they had to do. Simeon comes forward and they give him Jesus to hold. An amazing story, eh? He's there in the shadows. He's been there waiting all his life and he's holding this little baby in his arms. And this is what he says. God, you can now release your servant. Release me in peace as you promised. With my own eyes, I have seen your salvation. It's now out in the open. Everybody can see it. For everyone to see. A God revealing light to the non-Jewish nations and of glory for your people Israel. So Simeon recognizes that his whole life where he's been waiting on the Messiah has finally come and been fulfilled. He had God's promise that he would see Jesus before he died. Having done so, he now says, I can depart in peace. I can now die complete. My life is complete. Are you at that place in your life? I took a funeral on Monday for a wonderful 89-year-old woman. She had been christened and married at St. Hilda's Church and wanted to be buried there. Her family weren't Christians, and I met her three children the day before, and all three of them said to me in a different sort of way and in a different sort of style, but they all said to me, Mum was ready to depart. How often do you hear that? And while not wanting to be morbid in any way, I think it's an important question for us to ask now and again. Are you ready to depart in peace? If not, why not? Being ready means to be at peace with God and to be at peace with those around you. And that's part of the tradition that we do. We share the peace shortly, eh? Before the communion. We share the peace. So being at peace, is there something on your mind that is preventing you from being at peace? Is it a lack of peace with yourself? Is it a lack of peace with somebody you love? Is it a lack of peace with your family? Is it a lack of peace with God? If there is, take that opportunity today at communion or afterwards to do something about it. Restore that relationship with someone that you might have been putting off. Don't delay. Start today. The reading finishes with Simeon declaring that he has seen salvation and that it's now all out in the open for everyone to see. And that this salvation, which is literally means the preservation from loss or deliverance from difficulties, is not just available for the Israeli nation, but it's available for everybody. And that salvation comes from Christ and is for all of us, then and today here at St. Mary's in Karori. Amen. I hope that's helpful.